So welcome back to another episode of Confessions of a Serial Seller. My guest today, Simon Severino, based in from Rome, but based in Vienna in Austria. Simon, thank you so much for joining us today on the show.
Hey, Tony. Hello, serial killers. It's great to be here.
And just to make sure, that's serial sellers, not killers. We've got to be really clear. We're not going to talk about Ted Bundy today. So, Simon, what I always like to start these talks about for my listeners is to understand your background. I know you're the founder, the creator of Strategy Sprints. But before we talk about that, I'd love to know how you got into the world of sales and what led you to setting up Strategy Sprints.
I never liked sales. I've always been a consultant. So you are a CEO, I help you do go-to-market strategy. That's my thing. Strategy development, strategy execution. Let's enter the US market with this product. I'm in, let's go. Let's structure your portfolio over 15 countries better. Come on, let's do it. I fly to you, we do it. And so after decades of doing this, I've started my own company and now I was into sales. And now I realized, all right, it's getting serious here. If I like sales or not, that's the oxygen of the company. That's the vital part. And I might better embrace it. And so I started doing it. And in doing it, I realized, wait a moment. If we do this right, this is elegant. This is creative. This is enhancing relationships. Mm. And what is there more rewarding, more meaningful than enhancing relationships? Mm. I want better relationships with people, and I want more friends, and I want more relationships, and I want to help them. So, and I started loving sales, actually. And so from being a strategy consultant, then people started asking me for sales funnels and sales coaching and sales techniques, feedback, etc. And I was like, okay, let's do it. I'm not a sales expert, but like that Simon, Mark, you're selling like crazy. Yeah, but because the product is fine.
Yeah.
And so I stumbled into this world and then I started professionalizing it because I had to.
Yeah.
And I learned from year to year. I went through trial and errors and how to set our own sales workflows and wrong decisions and bad hirings and even worse firings. And bit by bit, I was learning year by year.
I love that. But you said about you had to, because you never wanted to be in sales, you had to start professionalizing it. Just walk me through what you went through to start professionalizing sales.
First thing was I had to get a business coach.
Yeah.
It was very clear because I had no idea what I'm doing. So I got a good business coach. First thing he said, Simon, you're doing hunting and farming, and you are good at farming, but you are no hunter. Where's the hunter here?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, what is this hunting thing? Hey, you have to push through the pipeline, etc. I was like, okay. First time I set up my CRM, and then first time I designed the stages. First time I wrote down which actions to do for each stage to push them forward. That's how I got started. And then I realized, of course, that many of the traditional funnels and the traditional things were broken because people don't like them anymore. Come on.
Yeah.
And so I took the challenge and said, okay, how can we make this more human, more fun? How do I want to be sold? Mm. And I realized quickly, I don't want to be sold at all. Yeah. I want to be challenged, educated, and coached.
Mm.
Challenged. Somebody who tells me, Simon, you are doing it wrong.
Mm.
Wow, you have my attention.
Mm.
Now you got to deliver. So now you got to teach me, show me the model that you have in your head that is better than what my behavior is.
Mm.
You have my attention, but not for very long. You have to show me stuff now. And then if you show me stuff, and then you say, and I can do this with you in a weekly cycle, I can be there while you implement it, and you can ask me, you can get access to my knowledge, or even to the person itself. Well, now we are partners. You challenge me, you show me that you can guide me there, and you are accessible for weekly reviews. I will not accept any monthly reviews. That's too long. But if it's a real-time, weekly thing, then I'm in. And so I realized that's how I want to be sold. This is how I hired my triathlon coach. This is how I hire my CrossFit trainer. This is how I'll hire people. And I go, all right, let's do this. Let's do this. And you know, the CrossFit coach comes and says, your flexibility is broken in the hip. We have to work on that. Yeah, and you have to shred 4 kilograms and stop running so much. We are doing weights tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I hate doing weights tomorrow, but that's exactly what I need to hear.
Yeah.
That's the pro. You got me. Let's do this. Weekly measurement, and let's move forward.
And it's really, I really like those three words: challenged, educated, coached. But earlier you spoke about you love enhance relationships. So in your opinion, from your experience of sales and other sales professionals you've seen in the industry, what's more important, challenging, educating and coaching a prospect, or focus on that relationship?
Well, there is the relationship. So I do only B2B high ticket sales.
Yeah.
And now, so I have no idea about, you know, B2C sales into consumer. In the B2B space, what is the relationship? The relationship, it's exactly this: challenge. And in order to challenge, you have to first listen and understand, right? And you have to diagnose. Otherwise, you will challenge the wrong thing, and then there is no conversation. It's just not happening.
Yeah.
Because then you don't have my attention. If you talk to me like somebody who is overweight, then, well, you don't see me right now. Bye-bye, next.
Yeah.
So you have to see that person, and that is listening, understanding, and this is relationship. Then you have to challenge, and you challenge only from a position of love. Think about, who do you challenge? My wife challenges me. My kids challenge me. Only the people who love me challenge me.
That's a great point.
If you don't care about somebody, why would you put all that effort and energy and risk of challenging? It backfires, it's risky, it creates more conversation, more emotions. You are completely entangled after such a conversation.
That's a really good point. Really good point. And I don't know, are you familiar with the Challenger Sale, Matt Dixon?
Yes, I like that concept, actually. It gets a lot of bad reputation. Yeah. And I actually like that concept.
I thought you would, because you shared the challenge, educate and coach. That ties in with the fact that you've got to be knowledgeable about your subject. You've got to be an expert, a thought leader, but you've also got to have the courage to challenge a prospect, a decision maker, a stakeholder, that maybe they're doing things wrong, and you have the roadmap to their goals.
Yes. What I like about the challenger concept is they call it commercial teaching. You become a teacher.
Yes.
Maybe. So share your knowledge. If you have your knowledge, give it. Share it.
Yeah.
That's what I say. What I don't like about it in terms of, they stay on a quite an academical level. So they will not be with you every week to coach you, because they're great at researching and benchmarking and writing, but they're not in the trenches with you.
Yes.
So that... And that's why I think they get such a bad rep. But if you mix that with accessibility, if you have this intention, I want to challenge, teach, support, be your partner in growth.
Yeah.
And I am here with you, and I'm going through this, and I am skin in the game. I'm not just teaching you. I am going with you through this. And teaching is one moment. The Buddhists call it... the three jewels. You need three elements for growth: Buddha, Dharma, Sangha. Buddha, that's yourself. You have everything on knowledge and skills. You have it. You are absolutely complete. There is nothing missing right now. You, the client, you have everything to make sales work.
Yeah.
It's in you. You just need to So I covered. The second one, Dharma, is the teachings. Teaching might be the teacher or the teaching, can be a book, can be a video, can be a template. And then there is Sangha, that's the community of peers, because it's a different energy. Learning from a teacher is one thing, learning from your peers is another thing. Mm. Because to your peers, you have a different energy. You ask them, hey, what's really working? How do you do that? I don't know how to do this. And with your teacher, you have different kind of questions that you ask.
Mm.
Both is important and you need both to progress.
Fascinating, really fascinating. And I know you mentioned that you never saw yourself as a salesperson, but when you became a CEO, a founder, you said it was a vital ingredient in what you do. So I guess my question to you, when, as a coach to CEOs, how do you help them become a salesperson, and how do you help them develop the engine of their business, the oxygen, as you said?
First thing is that we move away from this concept that sales is something transactional. It's about, you know, shipping shoe boxes somewhere.
Yeah.
And then as soon as we have established this is about relationship and enhancing them with integrity and by creating value, now we talk. And now we have our 12 weeks program, and it's a structure that has worked many, many times. It quadruples sales of people in 90 days. It doubles their sales. So it really works. And I can walk you through that without boring the audience, but it's three strategies, three habits, and three numbers over 12 weeks.
And how did you identify, before you tell us, how did you learn what those three habits were to focus on?
18 years of being in the trenches.
Yeah.
Of doing, you know, go-to-market strategy for BMW, for Boehringer Ingelheim, with Google, with Deutsche Bahn, etc. So being in the trenches and having to do it and seeing what explodes all the time. Seeing markets changing and black swan events. I learned a ton about from the pandemic because it changed everything. And then we had to see, okay, what makes resilience? What makes adaptability? And this is really the core of the three habits. Maybe we start with the three strategies.
Please.
The strategies to double your revenue in 90 days is not that hard. You need to increase three things by 25%. One is the conversion rate from existing leads.
Yep.
The other thing is the frequency of your sales, the time from awareness to closing. And to upsell, cross-sell.
Yeah.
That's the frequency. And the third thing is the price. With eight things that you need to do, you can improve your positioning. And with a better positioning, you can increase price by 25%. Usually easy, because most people don't have a structured way of finding their max price.
Yeah.
Of exploring it with the clients. And so we have a structure for that. And so we do these eight things with them. Then we explore with the new users by raising by 5% every time until we find the sweet spot. So after 3-4 weeks, we found their max price. And now you increase these three things by 25%, conversion rate, frequency, price. You get a revenue increase of plus 99%. You have doubled your revenue in 90 days.
Fantastic. And what are the three habits that you say to focus on?
Now, these are the three strategies, and you need a ton of tactics to implement them. And we have 274 tactics for you ready if you want to use them. But stuff will happen. Unexpected stuff. Markets changes. And this is why you need the three habits, because the three habits, you cannot trust your strategies. Strategy, you trust the act of strategizing, but you need to readapt that strategy weekly and monthly. The only thing you can trust is your operating system, and your operating system are the three habits: daily habit, weekly habit, monthly habit. This is the only thing you can trust, because it always works whatever happens. And it helps you reorient after hard shocks like the pandemic. So daily habit, How do you allocate your time? Write down the flow of tomorrow. What do you do tomorrow, 6 o'clock in the morning? I go running. What do you do 7 in the morning? Breakfast with the kids. What do you do 8 o'clock in the morning? Writing chapter 7 of my book, etc. So you write down what you do tomorrow. And then tomorrow in the evening, it has two boxes in our templates, two questions to reflect. One is, of all the things that I did today, which one will be done tomorrow by somebody better than me?
Mm.
It's the delegation question. The second one is, if I would live more intentionally and more freely, what would I do tomorrow?
Mm.
That helps you thinking bigger. The first one identifies what takes energy, what takes time from you. And that's the next thing to delegate, systemize, or cut. So you will now put that onto delegate next, systemize next. This is how you create your SOP. This is how you create systems.
Mm.
That makes your company resilient. And that creates you freedom, now time freedom. That you need to work on form, fit, and function of the sales system, form, fit, and function of the marketing system. But you have to create that time, and you can only create the time with this daily habit. Otherwise, you don't know what to delegate and what to systemize.
And what was the second one? So the first is all things I've done today, who can do that tomorrow better? What was the second question?
If I would live more freely and intentionally, what would I do tomorrow?
Brilliant.
So you strip away all the small stuff and you say, oh, I want to write a book. I want to be on a TED talk with my message and I want to run a marathon. Now you structure your day accordingly. These three things will have allocated time and then the rest will also happen. Of course, somebody will want to have your attention and 15 clients and three colleagues, and also the website will be broken and you don't know why, and you have to call the tech team. Yes, that all will happen, but you have your blocks in there and the rest happens around the blocks.
Mm.
That was the daily habit. Now, weekly habit, you get your numbers every 7 days.
Yeah.
Marketing numbers, sales numbers, ops numbers. Most people go, what are ops numbers? I don't know ops numbers. Well, how happy are your clients? For example, NPS, Net Promoter Score. How many client irritations did you have? How many upset clients did you get? Did you catch early in the first 48 hours of their being upset? Or 2 hours, depending on your business. How many did you catch early? How many not? Another ops numbers is referrals from client upsells.
Mm.
The you know the first sale is done by the sales team, but the second is done by the ops team. Because if you do your job right, they will renew, they will stay.
Absolutely.
So these are ops numbers, marketing numbers. How many conversations did we start? How many did we follow up? For example, sales numbers. Number of discovery calls, number of demo calls, conversion rate, deals closed in your currency, pound, dollar, euro, whatever it is, Bitcoin, in your currency.
Love that.
Simple dashboard, but if you have this every 7 days, now you're not flying blind anymore. You know what's going on. You know where you're winning. You know what's next. If you think about hiring, you know what to hire.
Yeah.
Because you will only improve this one number for now.
Love that.
That's the weekly habit. And then once a month, you have to take big picture. Because if you have only these two habits, now you are improving the status quo, but you are not really innovating. You're not really looking at the whole system. So once a month, for 1 hour, do strategy. Our positioning, strategic analysis, what are our three competitors doing? Do we need to change anything? How confident are we that we are selling the right thing at the right price to the right people?
Yeah.
Are we confident 100%? We ask everybody in the team. They say, yes, all right. Then next, if one of them says, I am at 80%, then we stop everything and we go there. What is it? Do you think the product is not the best product? Do you think the targeting is not right? Do you think their needs have changed? Let's talk about this. Because if we don't believe 100% in our product or service, the other side will hear only 50%, 60% of that confidence, and then no deal closed.
Yes. I love it. I love the way you've broken it down. It sounds simple, makes total sense, but being totally transparent, it's not something I do in my business, but I'm going to implement them. Love it.
And this is why I don't consider myself a salesperson, because I see this whole thing. And in that, for me, sales is how you build the whole relationship. It starts with marketing.
Yeah.
How you close the deal in the sales part, but also how you then deliver the value and make and help the ops team create the upsell. So this whole thing is what I look at, and not just the sales part. Oh, if we improve this landing page.
Yes.
Oh, no. What is the greater context? Does it really move forward one of the three strategies? And then we go into tactics and into solving bottlenecks.
Fantastic. And I want to ask, with strategy sprints, you've worked with, you mentioned some huge names, right? Google, et cetera, et cetera. When you've worked with some sales teams, in your opinion, what the top performers, what do they do differently to average salespeople?
Oh, there has been so much research about that, and nobody found common patterns. Some people say that there are patterns and they set up some skills and some attributes. My observation is different. I know fantastic salespeople with zero process, with zero scripts. I know fantastic salespeople with a very accurate scripts and very clear skills. You have great salespeople who are more people's driven and want to be liked. Even they close a lot. And then you have people who are more pushers and transactional, and they can also close a lot. So I don't see one pattern. What helps us navigate tough times is having the three habits in place, because that's the only thing we can trust. And then recording every sales call and giving each other feedback. So we recorded Zoom calls and we say, okay, pick the three that you want feedback on. And then I literally make notes while I watch them, and I tell them, look, your body language, when you went into features, when you set the price too early, when you set the price too low, when you set the price too high, look, this is what I see. And this is what we do each other. And then we do also role plays, ABC role plays from time to time, where we help each other get more natural, but still have the right flow.
Yes. And I love that. It has to be natural. It has to be authentic. What would you say has been the best advice you've ever been given from a sales perspective or business growth perspective?
It was probably, Simon, you have to be two levels above fulfillment.
Two levels above fulfillment. And why did they suggest that?
Because it was the first first year of our business, and I was in fulfillment. So I was consulting myself. I was the consultant. Mm. And we had just more projects, and now we were a whole team, but I was still doing the consultancy. And he said, Simon, you are the CEO here. You need to be two levels above fulfillment. You don't do any consultancy anymore. You work on form, fit, and function of the sales system. You work on strategic partnerships. You work on the book, the PR, being on three podcasts per day. That's your job. Hiring, firing, culture, that's your job. Performance systems, that's your job. Everything else you don't touch anymore.
I love that. But that's key, right? Is knowing designated roles and delegating effectively.
Yeah.
So since you've been running strategy sprints or even previous, what would you say has been your biggest success or failure? And what's been your lesson from that?
So biggest success has been when 3 weeks ago, a client from North Carolina was building houses, and houses, you know, it's not that easy to improve how many houses you can sell and deliver in 90 days. They quadrupled their sales.
Wow.
They quadrupled in 90 days.
Wow.
So that was a huge accomplishment. And the coach, it was, of course, a team effort, right? Four people on their side, a strategy sprints coach with them. And then that coach every Monday had 13 other coaches who would coach the coach so he could ask their questions. So it was over 20 people involved in that project and in that success. But I would say that was a huge success.
That's incredible. And failure?
Failure every day. Yesterday, the website was down for 3 hours, and I don't know why. Every day we have small failures. And we learn from them. The point is we tackle them, we learn from them.
Yes.
We write down the new process. We keep rolling. We keep rolling. We stand up again. We don't do the exact the same thing and expect new results. So we try something else. Okay. What is our hypothesis? Why did we fuck that up?
Yeah.
Okay, I think that was wrong. Okay, wrong assumption. What's the new assumption? What's the new behavior? What's the experiment we can run in the next 3 days to find out what's better? We make it small so that in 3 days we can find out if that's better. We want the weak signals. And then 3 days new experiment. So we keep rolling, we keep learning.
So it's an evolution.
Yes, I have learned not to take anything personally.
Yeah.
So First it's about them.
Even if you lose a client, they say, Simon, yeah, thank you, but I don't want to work with you anymore. How do you not take that personally?
Because it's about them. That's absolutely not personally. And that's absolutely not about our product, our service, or about me. They are on a journey, on a path. On their path, some things help and others don't. If we can be part of the helpful thing, wonderful, let's do it. If we are not, I will help them find the competitor who is the right partner.
Yeah.
Because it's about them and it's about systems. You know, you create systems, but your system will not be the best for everybody in the world. Come on.
Yeah.
And so and you need also this feedback to improve it. Right. So they will say, hey, this is not going well. First, you get your money back. Second, please tell me more because I need to improve this for the next client. And third, how can I help you find the right supplier?
I love it. And I love the way your mindset, the way you see it. And it sounds sincere that you don't take it personally. It really is it's from their lens. It's their journey.
I see systems. They are on a path with their system. We have systems and they are helpful for some and not helpful for others.
Yes.
They also need improvement all the time.
Yes.
So it will be actually amazing when, and it happens from time to time that it's not helpful. And I sit down with them 90 minutes and I really interview them and I record that interview because I will implement every single feedback that they give us.
Yeah.
And you know what? They have done my product improvement, my research and development, my market research. That's these 90 minutes. We don't do market research. That's we brilliant. Ask our clients.
Yeah, very clever. Love that. Simon, it's been amazing. I've learned so much from you, and I know my listeners would have worked as well. For the CEOs listening to this, the sales professionals listening to this, where's the best place for them to reach out to you and learn from you?
We hang out at strategysprints.com. And many of the tactics that we discussed here are open source there. So you can go there and grab them and use them and crush it.
So, yeah, you were speaking earlier about the templates you've got. You said you've got the two. Do you have on your website templates to download to use?
Yes, they're open source because we want feedback. We want to improve them. So we need as many thousand people per week using them. So go use them, enjoy them, improve them, give us feedback, crush it.
Well, I'll certainly be one of those doing that. today. I'm going to take action today on that. Simon, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it. Keep safe, keep well.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Simon.